Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At our Montana Synod Assembly in Great Falls a couple of weeks ago, we heard from a number of candidates for bishop about the qualifications and vision that they would bring to the office of bishop if they were called to serve the church in that role. Most candidates acknowledged the declining membership in our congregations, an anxiety that has rocked our rural communities throughout the state. Some hinted at visions for future ministry while lifting up past administrative experience. One candidate for bishop, though, took a unique approach when he hearkened back all the way to his original discernment to even attend seminary in the first place. The Reverend Scott Hedegaard, who now serves a congregation in Great Falls after serving many years in Glasgow, Montana, is a second career pastor who made his way into the ministry from working the oil fields in Montana and North Dakota. As I'm sure most of you well know, oil field work is not a soft or cushy profession by any means, and draws a lot of rough characters. Scott talked about a sense of despair, sorrow, and even fear that grew in him the longer he worked amongst the rough crowd of oil workers, which, oddly enough, inspired him to make a change and head into the ministry. You might think that Pastor Hedegaard made this change to get away from the environments that brought him to these moments of fear, anxiety, and despair. But his motivations to become a pastor were quite the opposite. Working amongst the men in the oil fields inspired Scott to study scripture and theology so that he could return to tell them with assured confidence that there is no place that God forgot. There is no place that God forgot. Though it may seem to many that the oil fields which draw primarily the economically desperate are not blessed by God's presence at all, Pastor Hedegaard saw a need to proclaim the simple, profound truth in their midst. There truly is no place that God forgot. A similar concern seems to have been present in the minds of the Israelites, who had been exiled in Babylon for generations. They were worried that they had been abandoned by a God who was now hidden from them. They wondered how a God who was present and active in their midst could let them be taken into exile by their foreign conquerors. And they anxiously questioned where God was when their circumstances seemed anything but blessed. In their minds, they were a place and a people that God forgot. But the Lord called to them through the prophet Isaiah in our first lesson for this week, saying, "I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that did not call on my name." While the people were wondering why God had forgotten them, God was wondering why they would not open their eyes to see the Lord's presence right in front of them. The people were looking at the troubles that they had endured and interpreted them to mean that they were forgotten by our Creator. Yet, our Creator was standing right in front of them, wondering aloud why the people would not simply open their eyes to see that God had been there the whole time. There truly was no place that God forgot. Still, the people could not understand this simple but profound truth. Instead of trusting that God was right in front of them, supporting them along the way as they went, Isaiah says that the people made sacrifices in gardens, offered incense on bricks, sat inside tombs and secret places, and ate swine's flesh with the broth of abominable things in their vessels. In other words, the people were not content to trust that God had always been with them as God had promised, but they believed that they needed to somehow invent new and different ways to pray, worship, and seek God out through ritual so that they might experience God's divine presence once again. They turned to idolatrous practices that centuries later would look a whole lot like what the legion of demons made the Gerasenean man do before Jesus casted them out in our gospel lesson from Luke. The man possessed by demons was forced to live among the dead, go around naked, and when the demons were cast out of him, they also found a home in the pigs that they went on to possess. Yet whereas this man did all of these things because he was forced to by the evil that possessed him, the people that were spoken of in Isaiah did all of these things willingly. And they did them because they believed that God had forgotten them. They did these things because they were so desperate to have God back in their communities and in their lives that they were willing to do anything to make that happen. Lest we look down on these ancient idolaters, we need look no further than ourselves to see these sins repeated in our own time. Though I have yet to see people sleeping in the Ronan Cemetery when I drive by, there are other numerous ways we make idols of things in our lives. We do this when we treat things that are not God, as though they will bring us divine, eternal peace, wholeness, and meaning to our lives. In other words, we do this when we treat things that are not God, as though they are God. Usually the things we make idols of are perfectly fine and good in their own right, until we approach them with sinful, idolatrous intentions. It is not wrong to make money, and it is good to provide for oneself and one's family. Yet when we treat money, houses, cars, boats, snowmobiles, or whatever else we may fancy, as though these things will repair the broken pieces of our souls, then we make an idol out of them. Romantic relationships are good and holy in the Lord's eyes. Yet when we use our partners only for our own pleasure, and do not support them in genuinely loving ways, we make an idol out of the relationship. Even food and drink, some of the basic necessities of survival, can be turned into an idol if we believe that we will only be whole if we are always well fed and have enough to drink. In our sinfulness, we have a way of turning even the best things towards evil purposes, and can end up looking a whole lot like the demon-possessed guy in the eyes of God. The good news, though, the gospel for this morning is that God promised to reclaim the Israelites from their idolatry, just as Jesus delivered the Gerasenean man from the demons that controlled his every action. Our first lesson ends with God saying through the prophet, "I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there." Though the people had strayed and were doing everything they could to find God in new and idolatrous ways, God was still faithful to them. In spite of their rejection of the God that was right in front of their eyes, God was still faithful to remind them that there was no place and no one that God forgot. The simple, profound, and holy truth was reaffirmed when Jesus freed the man known only for demon possession and living among the dead, from the evil that controlled him. If it seemed like there was anyone that could be abandoned and left to his own fate, it was this guy. He was literally of the devil, and all attempts to restrain him and keep him among the living had failed. But God, in Jesus Christ, never gave up on him and freed him from the horde of demons that tried to resist the God right in front of him. Brothers and sisters, there is no place and no person that God forgets. While we may do everything possible under the sun to earn God's wrath, God will always be faithful to forgive us, reclaim us, and free us from the evil in our lives. There is no idol that we can create that is greater than the love of God, who always willingly and graciously forgives our sins. And even a horde of demons cannot keep God from making us whole. Let us rejoice this day that we will never be forgotten, for God will always be right in front of us, even if we fail to see Him. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.